Hey everyone, Pastor Tim here. I pray that this sermon, this resource, will be used by God to grow you and help you flourish in His grace and sanctify you in your faith. This resource is not intended to and will never replace the benefits of being part of a church family. So if you're local, we would love to have you join us here on Sunday mornings. If you're not close, we encourage you to find a church home in your area. Again, we pray that this blesses you and grows you in your love for Jesus and sharing that love with others.
Well, good morning. My name is Andrew Collins. I am the Family Ministries pastor here at The Vine. And we are in the middle of two big series this morning. We just finished our 1 Samuel series. We made it through all the book of 1 Samuel and actually the first chapter of 2 Samuel. And then we're going to start another long series next week. And so right here, smack dab in the middle, we have a week that's just open. So Pastor Tim was like, you teach on whatever you want to teach on. And so I'm going to tell you the passage here in just a second. You're going to go, Andrew, could you have chosen an easier passage? And the question's maybe. But I think this passage this morning is so easy, but deeply personal and helpful to us if we actually gloss over some of the, I think, first reading of easiness of this passage. Before we jump into it, though, we need to do a study. We need to do a study on sheep, because without a knowledge of sheep, brief knowledge, we're not going to teach a course here, but I think this encapsulates pretty well sheepology, or the study of sheep. I don't think you need to know any more than this. So I found a video, because I know all of you guys love videos and you're visual learners in this digital age. So here's a video example of a study of sheep. So just take a look real quick. Yep. And if you can just hold for a second, in case you missed it, there's a nice slow-mo for you as well, right back in there. Yeah. So as we go into our passage this morning, it's just going to be important that that picture right there is seared into your brain of what a sheep is and does, okay? And you're going to find it so helpful that the Lord calls you a sheep. So you basically just laughed at yourself, so enjoy that this morning. we're going to read Psalm 23 this morning, and I'm going to start in verse 1 and read through the whole thing to get us started. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Who is our shepherd? Who is our shepherd? And the easy answer from the text is, well, Andrew, the Lord is our shepherd, which is true. And if you actually are living that way, then you're finding a lot of the things we're going to talk this morning. But I think the reality is that we actually have a lot of shepherds that we could follow and do follow, including ourselves, who believes we're a really good shepherd. But I want to focus on the statement that the Lord is my shepherd and what it means to say that the Lord is my shepherd. So who is the shepherd, the Lord? Well, I think we got to come out of the text for a second and go to John 10 and Colossians 1 to gather kind of the information we need to answer that question. So if we go to John 10 to look at, okay, so the Lord is my shepherd. What do we know about the shepherd? He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." And then verse 17 says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." There's two things from this passage we know about the good shepherd. Is one, I'm already using the word, is that he's good. What does it mean that he is good? Well, I think we find the fact that he's good in a couple things here. One, think about the ways he's describing himself as a shepherd in contrast to the other things in this passage. That they may go in and out and find pasture. That there's a thief that does come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. His goodness is that he is leading us to life and life abundant. His goodness is also that he's not a hired hand. He's not someone that on some day when the bigger thing comes is going to run away. He's not scared. He's not powerless. And he's good. And then the last thing that we find to know that he's good is what he says right after he says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. I lay down my life for the sheep." He's good because at all cost, he lays down his life for the sheep. And here's the reality for us. There is no other shepherd in your life that's willing to do that to that degree. No one else. And yet, for some reason, we have this delusion of placing more trust in them than we do in the good shepherd. Well, the second passage, so we know he's good, we know he lays down his life for the sheep, but what can he do? Well, we also know the shepherd that we're talking about here, the Lord. Colossians 1, 15 through 17 says this, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or powers or authorities. All things were created through him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Is there anyone else in your life, including yourself, that is part of their bio? Probably not. And if it is, that's a little suspect. He's all powerful. He owns it all. He's created it all. Visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, authorities, all things created through him and for him. Our good shepherd is not just good, he also has the ability to care for the sheep. He's all powerful and he owns it all. So now that we know who the good shepherd is, what would we want for? Right? My guess is when you woke up this morning, you wanted something. My guess is right now, some of you are like, "I want something." And yet this passage starts off with this verse that seems like impossible. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." How in the world do I stop wanting? I think the only way that we start to move to a place of stop wanting is we realize who the good shepherd is. and we start going towards him. Because what we'll start to realize is all the things in the passages we just unfolded. Is that he is good. He does lay down his life for the sheep. He is capable. He is all powerful. He owns it all. He owns it all, which means that all things you will ever need, he has. You ever think about that? In every season of your life, he has the things that you need. Not the things you want, but he has the things that you need. And he gives them. How can I trust that he's going to do that? Well, he laid down his very life for you. My guess is that if you ever question someone's trust and the next day they jumped in front of a bullet for you, you may have a different opinion. That statement should ring true for us the same way. Christ has laid down his life for us. We can trust him. He's good, which means that his choices are right and true. That means he's just in his judgments, righteous in his care. He's good. There's never going to be a moment where you look to the good shepherd and all of a sudden realize, wow, you've really snuck things behind, shorted me, didn't treat me justly, cheated me. Never. Never. So what does all this mean? Well, it means that you can trust him. It means that he has all the qualities of someone worthy of trust. In fact, he is so good to his sheep, again, that he lays down his life for them. Do we realize what a blessing it is that the Lord is your shepherd? What do we lack as sheep in the care of this good shepherd? Do we lack anything in the care of this shepherd? The answer is no. The psalmist puts it that way to start. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I lack no good thing. He gives out of his abundance. But I asked you at the very beginning, some of us are not following the good shepherd. We're not listening to him. We're not looking to him. We are following other shepherds in our life. I want to put you back to the video, right? Do you think that sheep has a chance without a shepherd? No, it doesn't. There's a reason sheep are chosen to describe you and me. But it's kind of offensive, to call you a sheep now, right? That's how God describes us, though. So if you're sitting in here thinking the person you are following, maybe on whatever articles you read, podcasts you listen to, Twitter feeds, your favorite political candidate, your favorite podcast, your favorite pastor. That's all I need. I don't need the good shepherd. I'm just going to go to these other things. They will direct me. Or you may think you're the good shepherd. You own your life. You can handle it. Think back again to the video if you need a reminder. You're a sheep. I would suggest reevaluating. Or I want you to imagine one of those sheep going off on their own. How long would they last? I don't know if you noticed, they didn't even make it 40 yards. Right back in the hole. Okay, now that we've addressed who the shepherd is, and why he's the best shepherd, in which we lack nothing, let's talk about where he's leading us. I think as this passage starts to unfold, we start to see that question over and over again. Okay, where is the shepherd leading? Where's he leading us? That's what shepherds do. Well, the first thing is verse 2 and 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. What's David trying to convey to us here? This is very weird, flowery language. We don't understand sheep and herding and shepherding very well. And so these sentences are a little bit confusing. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to leave church right now, and after church we need to go find a green pasture, and I need to lay down in it. Right? David wants us to understand where the good shepherd is leading us. You see, in ancient Israel, a green pasture was not something that you just stumbled upon. You had to be led to one. It was an arid climate. A green pasture would have been a fantastic sight to sheep. But you may not realize that the passage says that they may lie down as well. It's not just fine green pasture, but it's to lay down in it. And I did some research because maybe you guys know a lot more about sheep than I do. I don't know a whole lot about sheep other than that. There's four factors that have to be true of sheep for them to actually lie down. Four things. They have to feel incredibly safe. They have to feel fed. They cannot feel hungry. The third thing is they cannot have any kind of pest annoying them. And the fourth thing is that there has to be harmony among the herd. You know, it's a really good thing that only sheep need those and not us, right? To truly stop and to lie down and to breathe and to rest. But we are so go, go, push, push, push. We don't ever get that. We don't experience what it means to lie down in a green pasture for a moment, for a season, and to breathe and enjoy safety, being fed, the pest of our life being pushed away, and the harmony of the body. That's the only way sheep will lie down. And that's what Jesus, our great shepherd, is trying to lead us to. We get seasons of this, right? There are seasons of other things, but we definitely get seasons of this as he leads us. Well, he also leads us by still waters. Our shepherd knows where the water is and how to get there. I don't know if you also saw this, right? I'm not trusting that sheep to find water either. He also knows the good water sources from the bad. So it's not just leading sheep to a water source. It's also just leading sheep to a good water source. Because if sheep just stumble around and all of a sudden come upon a puddle that's been sitting there disease-ridden, they'll just drink out of it. They won't even think about it. And it will potentially hurt them and potentially lead to death. So the shepherd has to pull them away from that and to the still water that is clean, that will actually help them. Sheep need water just like every other animal, but sheep need help. Sheep don't know how to get to things they need effectively or safely. Does that sound familiar? Our shepherd leads us to him. He is the still waters from which we drink and are satisfied. There are a lot of other puddles and things that without the shepherd's guidance, we will begin to drink from. Until the shepherd pulls us back and leads us to still waters. We need help. You know, he restores our soul by all of these things, making us lie down, leading us beside still waters. He restores our souls. I don't know about you this morning, but the thought of a restoration of the soul, there's a yearning in me for that. I don't know what you brought in here today, what you're going through in your life. Does your soul need restoration? And if so, the shepherd is leading you to that. If you'll listen, if you'll obey, and if you'll look to him, he restores our soul. So we need guidance, we need a good shepherd, and the truth about the journey is this: travel is required to go from pasture to water and pasture to water. You can't just sit in one green pasture for a long time, and I'll actually tell you, with sheep, they will. Once you find a pasture, if a shepherd does not move them along, they will literally eat the grass to the roots and destroy the land. They have to spend a certain amount of time, and then he moves them. So as he's moving them, he moves them from pasture to still waters, and then next we see he also leads us in paths. What kind of paths? Paths of righteousness. Do you realize that there are very few animals that lack direction as much as sheep? They are awful when it comes to a sense of direction. No other class of livestock needs as much handling as sheep. I was literally talking to someone right after this, and they were like, we tried sheep, and then I got rid of them. Because they were such a pain. And he made a brilliant statement. He said, it's like sheep are just trying to die. And I really think that's true. Like, that is their goal in life. And the goal of the shepherd is to keep them from dying. And it's true. And it's also true of us. Paths of righteousness. We need to be guided onto good paths, not dangerous, destructive ones, but positive, helpful ones. How are the unrighteous ones to find paths of righteousness? The only way you find a path of righteousness is to follow a righteous one. You cannot lead yourself on to a righteous path or a right path. How is a sheep to know good and safe paths? It's not for the shepherd. If they wander without a shepherd, they will never look in the paths that are right because they have no clue where to look or even the ability to look. He knows the paths. He's walked the path. He alone will keep us on the path. God has put himself as the name by which he will do this. I love this little statement in Psalm 23 that it's important for us to point out here. He says, lead me on paths of righteousness. Then he says this small statement, for his namesake. Do you realize how bad it looks on a shepherd to lose sheep, for sheep to die, for sheep to not be well fed, for sheep to be carrying pests, and to not have water? Do you realize how bad that looks on the shepherd? So what he's saying here is, hey, you can trust it because it's not this thing or that thing or this thing or that thing. It's my name that I'm carrying. It's for my namesake, my glory, that I'm going to care for you. It's for that reason. It's what's at stake, the reputation of our shepherd. God has put his name by which he will do this for his name's sake. We have assurance that we will be led in paths of righteousness. Right standing, right ways. So Jesus will get the glory. We will never walk alone. The good shepherd is always with his sheep. And that's the reminder as we move to verse 4. Where else is he leading us? I love that David is very honest about this life. Will there be green pastures? Yeah. Will there be still waters? Yes. And will there be dark nights of the soul and valleys of the shadow of death? Yes. David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is the honesty of the journey of the Christian life. He doesn't skirt around the fact that these seasons are coming and will come or are presently in your life. And notice he doesn't say, and then as we get to the valley, we're going to go backwards. We're going to try to go around. We're going to try to go over. He doesn't do any of that. He says, we will go through. The only way to walk through the valley is to literally go through it. When hard seasons come, we must go through them, but are they not the season we feel most closely connected to the shepherd? If I were to interview all of you throughout your whole life, I'm guessing that some of the moments that you felt what this psalm is talking about is when you walked through dark nights of the soul, valleys of the shadow of death, because why? Your fixed eyes on the shepherd became so important. The reality of what is surrounding you has really set in. And I know that I am not going to make it if the shepherd doesn't go with me. You see, when they led sheep through the valley because they had to move from pasture to pasture, still water, these valleys were treacherous to go through. Sheep could easily fall. They could easily fall into holes. and the predators around the area all stayed in the valley. Because they knew as the sheep came through, I can just pounce and they can't go anywhere. It's funneling. And how often does our enemy and predator try that in our own valleys? To convince us of lies, to help us to continue to believe the Good Shepherd doesn't have your best interest in mind. He's too far off. He can't get to you. And what does he say here? I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Notice he doesn't say that they will not have hardship or deal with grief or have to endure some kind of trial, but he does say, I will fear no evil. Fear will not hold me captive as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will not be a slave to fear. My good shepherd will comfort me. And how does he do that? He has a staff and he has a rod. With his rod, as the predator comes, he will beat away anything that is trying to attack me. And with his staff, he will pull me back onto the path. If I'm going through the valley and all of a sudden it starts to get a little shaky and my knees are starting to give in and I feel like I'm about to fall off, the shepherd comes over with his staff and he takes it and he pulls me back onto the path to follow him. I'm about to fall into a hole. He pulls me right out of it and says, let's keep going. In those two things, as I look to the shepherd, he has his rod and his staff, and I see my good shepherd, and I know. Is there still a lot around me that I'm potentially scared of? Yes, but I look to him, and it's comfort. My good shepherd is with me. He has protected and comforted me by laying down his life. The deepest valley you could ever think of, sin, death, and Satan, I will fear no evil because God is with me. My shepherd is with me. He has overcome my greatest enemies. So where is this last place as the psalm keeps going that he'll lead us? It's into his place and presence forever. In verse 5, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This feels like a little bit of like a weird shift. Because we're kind of on this like leading path, shepherd, and then all of a sudden he talks about this table and enemies, and it's like, what is going on here? What is he trying to communicate? Where is he leading, like I said, into his place and presence? You see, our good shepherd isn't just leading us aimlessly around. He's leading us home. And he knows that the sheep aren't home yet, and so it's going to be hard. But as we are led home, this beautiful picture of the now and not yet, you, God, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You see, you are seated with royalty at the table. The king has called you by name and has put you next to him and said, eat, drink, enjoy. It's not one of these situations where it's like you kind of snuck in at the very end. Or that someone else invited you and you're hoping that they don't, you know, the king doesn't notice that you're there. Maybe they just, like, pass you by. No, the king has seen you and called you by name and has called you to his table and has put you there and said, feast, enjoy, pleasures forevermore in my name. And not only that, but then he puts this picture of out in front of you is a table before your enemies. Sin, Satan, and death defeated. And as you look on that victory, you also feast, knowing that I will never again walk through that valley of the shadow of death. My shepherd has led me to his place and presence, and he lavishes on me. He anoints my head with oil. You realize this is only a royal thing. If you get anointed with oil, it's a royal thing. And it's not just like, I'm going to give you a little dot, little dot, little dot, right? He goes, the cup, it's overflowing. My goodness is literally not contained by the cup. It is overflowing for you. It's not like, oh, don't waste it all. Don't waste it. We only have a little bit left. The cup is overflowing. lavished on us. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is something chasing you, and it's the best thing you could ever think of. It's goodness and mercy. When you woke up this morning, you put your feet on the ground to get ready for the day, goodness and mercy chasing you. I think we focus on a lot of other things in our life that are chasing us. Goodness and mercy chasing us, following me all the days of my life. Today, when I royally screw up, I'm short with my wife, or I'm short with my kids, or I'm not honest about something. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And then last, to his place and presence, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Your good shepherd is leading you home. There's a green pasture and still waters better than anything he can provide in this life and the life to come. And he's leading you home to that. And I love the word he uses here, dwell. I'm not a visitor. I'm not a fly on the wall. I'm not a renter. I am dwelling fully in my Father's house. Now, with everything in Psalm 23, I think we have to ask the question, are you actually listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd? Are you actually listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd? I think for me, as I think about this question, I'm very convicted that the answer often is no. How many moments throughout my day, getting up this morning, going to bed tonight, how often am I inviting the Good Shepherd in to speak, to tell me, to direct me? I'll tell you, the shepherd I allow in a lot is me. And then on top of that, the other ones that are around that we talked about, right? Whatever I'm reading, whatever the pastor said, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, right? But we go to so many other places to fill the things that we feel like that's where we should be going. Check my portfolio, make sure everything's okay. I'm not listening to the Good Shepherd. I'm not submitting to him. And I think, like C.S. Lewis puts it, I'm often trading mud pies for a vacation at the beach. To follow the Good Shepherd is so much better. The problem is we have to convince ourselves, ask the Lord to change our hearts, because we won't default to that. So stop and listen. Stop and listen. Those might be two of the hardest things you're called to do this week. I don't know what's going on at your work or at your job, and maybe that's really got something hard coming up this week, but I think this is going to be harder. Can you stop and can you listen? And then can you submit and obey to the Good Shepherd? We need to stop and listen and hear his voice. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing, no good thing. I want to finish and just read the psalm one more time again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. As we move towards communion, I want to give a second for you to pause and to reflect. And there's just one simple thing I want you to do. I want you to stop and I want you to listen. I want you to ask the Good Shepherd to speak, to direct. And as you read through this psalm and think about the parts of it, whatever season you're in, that you would submit humbly to Him. And as you do that, I will close this in prayer here in just a little bit. Father, we thank you this morning that you are a good shepherd to your people. Jesus reminds us as he calls, he says, "Come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." Father, help us to know the shepherd, to trust him, to come back often as we wander. Forgive us. Remind us that goodness and mercy follow us, not judgment and condemnation, but goodness and mercy. May we find the Good Shepherd as we're reminded of the goodness and mercy he showers on us. We thank you for all these things, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.